You might wonder, why is Paul telling the Romans about what's for lunch? You might wonder, why is Paul spending time in the 14th chapter of his letter to the Romans talking about don't let your food be a stumbling block to your brother or sister? I mean, when you first read it, it kind of sounds like you've helped mom unload the car from her trip to Kroger or Meijer or Walmart or any other grocery store you prefer. And it might sound like you've just kind of dropped the bags right there in the smallest part of the house and your brother can trip over them. Anybody willing to confess that they maybe have done that, maybe accidentally on purpose? Oh yeah. Maybe sometimes I think about my mom goes to Gordon Foods sometimes to get like big cans of tuna fish and big jars of mayonnaise, and you know, we got used to feeding a family of six people in one household. When family comes to visit, it was easy to be 12 people for dinner, so we buy big things. Nothing hurts worse than kicking an institutional-sized can of tuna fish, right? I'm willing to bet, though, that that's not what Paul was talking about. See, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, the Romans, the Galatians, or whoever else. That was the early church, right? They needed guidance on how to do this new thing called being a Christian. In this instance, in the Romans, people might say, you know, there were certain rules in other cultures about what you could eat, what you could not eat, what you could eat with each other. You know, we think about our Jewish brothers and sisters who hold kosher. They can't mix certain food groups, right? You can't have a glass of milk with your hamburger. That doesn't fly. You can't, for instance. And there was an argument amongst the early Christians about how do we do it? You're giving us all these other rules, but we've grown up with all these rules over here, and this group's not agreeing with the rules that we grew up with. Well, how do we manage to keep the peace? The Common English Bible, which is that translation I read from this morning, kind of puts it into terms that we think we might be able to understand today, right? And so when Paul says, don't let your food or drink trip up your brother or sister, what he's saying is, it might be okay for you to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but your brother or sister in Christ might have a moral obligation not to eat peanut butter. Maybe they're allergic to it. Who knows? Don't be that person that has your friend over and while we're having peanut butter and jelly, when you know they can't eat peanut butter and jelly, right? But what Paul is saying, it's got nothing to do with what's on the menu, right? It's got everything to do with being mindful of the other person's needs, right? And so when we talk about being peacemakers and peacekeepers, I don't know about you. How many of you have siblings? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you are the youngest? Put your hands down. How many of you are the oldest? How many of you are somewhere in the middle? How many times have any one of us heard, keep the peace with your siblings? How many of us have heard it worded a different way? I am tired of hearing you guys arguing. How many of you have heard it more like, if I have to come up those stairs, how many of you have heard, if I have to pull this car over? All right, some more honesty. How many of you ever have ever said, he's touching me? or my favorite, Mom! Oh, come on, be honest, I've done it too. Mom, he took my Legos. Wait. Mom! He made me lose that level on Mario.
You shouldn't have been sitting there.
Teacher, they took the crayons I wanted to use and they're not sharing. Wait a minute. Camp version, right? I need some counselor support here. Counselor! They're not doing their part of sweeping out the greenie.
Thank you.
Does it sound like keeping the peace? No. Does it sound like picking an argument? Yes. Does it sound like maybe putting a stumbling block in front of a brother or sister? Yeah. So, when we talk about keeping the peace, and we realize it's got nothing to do with whether we're having peanut butter and jelly or tuna fish or ham and cheese or whatever the case may be, when we talk about keeping the peace, maybe what we really need to focus on is how do we pay attention to the other person next to us, right? How do we care about somebody else's needs without putting ourselves first? Now, there are absolutely times, and I will tell you guys this, honest to God, right here. There are times where you have to put yourself first for safety's sake, right? Campers, you understand what I mean by that, right? Counselors, you understand what I mean by that, right? Everybody else, you understand what I mean by that, right? There are times you have to put yourself first for safety's sake, right? If somebody's offering you something that you know is wrong, or it's somebody you don't know, you take care of yourself, right? Come on, right?
Yes.
Okay. But there are also times that you have to be mindful of the other people around you, right? There are times when, and I'm guilty of it, and if we're honest, we've all done it at least once, where somebody's having a bad day, right? Somebody's hurting, somebody's heart is broken, somebody's just sad, right? And you come bursting into the room and you have your own problems, right? And you're just mad, right? But you haven't paid attention to your sibling, your cohort, your brother or sister in Christ. You haven't paid attention to how broken they are. You burst in and it's all about you. And it's all about, it's me and I'm having a bad day. And I don't know about you guys, but I know when I was having a bad day when I was your age, and my brothers were a year younger and 7 years younger than I am, when I was having a bad day, I was more likely to tear into them regardless of what kind of day they were having. Right? That's not being a peacemaker, is it? We have a problem in what we hear between Facebook and the news and everywhere else, where everybody wants you to believe what they believe. Everybody wants you to have the same point of view that they have, regardless of what it is. They want you to have exactly the same outlook. And what I'm asking you to do, and more specifically what God asks you to do, is stop and take time to listen. And actually pay attention to what you feel about things, right? How you feel about what you're hearing, instead of just going along with the flow. keeping the peace and not making a ripple and not making a big to-do is not the same as being a peacemaker. Does that make sense? Keeping the peace is, I'm not going to get in a fight with anybody. I'm just going to sit here and rock phone with them. Maybe even perhaps in the face of wrong. And that's not being the same as someone who makes peace, right? Keeping the peace and being, I'm not saying anything. I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to cause a problem. I don't want to get somebody mad at me. That's not the same as standing up and saying, this is wrong. That's not the same as saying, it's wrong to plow right over what somebody else says. Being a peacemaker, at least from where I stand in my experience, being somebody who strives to make peace and to encourage the growth of peace is someone who takes the time to listen to somebody else to hear them. How many times when you're having an argument, and it happens more times than not when we're arguing with somebody, how many times when somebody, you're going back and forth to somebody, and you're not actually hearing what they're saying, right? How many times when we're having an argument do we already have our response already formed and we're just waiting for them to shush so we can say it, right? That's not being a peacemaker, is it? As you, in this space, right? I just sit here for a minute and just listen to the wind and the trees. There's no more peaceful spot on in this state, I don't think. And I've been in all kinds of spots in this state. I claim the whole Lower Peninsula as my home. Listen. If you don't have that kind of peace in your heart, and you can't stop and listen to your neighbor the way you just listen to the tree, you've got no space to hear what they're saying. And I'll tell you something else. Most of the arguments we have are because we misunderstand, right? Most of the disagreements we have is because we don't understand where the other person is coming from. And at least from where I'm at and in my experience, most of the time when I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, whether literally or figuratively, it's because I don't feel heard. How true is that, right? When we are proclaiming as loud as we can, it's because we don't feel heard. So maybe then what our job is and what our calling is to stop and actually listen and practice what we call active listening, where we're actually listening to each other for the purpose of understanding, not for the purpose of responding. You want to be a peacemaker, a maker of peace, a bearer of the light of God. That's key. And it's not saying, as Paul was saying to the Romans, it's not saying, well, this is what I believe. It must be okay because this is what I believe. Oh, what do you mean you don't believe that? I do. That does nothing to further the message of peace, does it? We need to get to a point where we listen to each other. And more than just listen to each other, we hear each other. Because there is a big difference between listening and actually hearing what the person is saying. It's a mighty tall order, you guys, but I think you can handle it. And I think, no, I don't think, I know that me watching you means that the other adults are watching you camping. It means that you get to lead by example. Leading by example is not just something we remind the junior counselors and the counselors when they're, because you guys are watching them. We need to be mindful that we're also watching you and how you do it. Think you can handle it? I think you can too. What a wonderful gift it is to be able to spend time with you and to talk for just a little bit. Apparently we have a song, eh? Alrighty.